This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Today inshallah we will be going over some du'as related to the good things of this world and the good things of the hereafter. Meaning, what are some du'as we can make in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with good things in this life and also with good things in the next life, in the hereafter, for eternity. And among these du'as, remember, is the du'a which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Qur'an. And that du'a is, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That our Lord, give us good in this world, and also give us good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good things in this world and in the hereafter, because remember that du'a is a means of receiving what you desire, what you wish for. Dua is something that reflects what your goals are, what your wishes are. Dua reflects your beliefs, your wishes, what kind of a person you really are. And dua is an excellent form of worship, an excellent form of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good things in this life and also for good things in the next life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give us both. So those who aim high don't just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good things right now or just in this life. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lot, because they know that the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are great. None knows the forces of Allah except He. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the keys to the treasures. He is the one who owns everything. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of great favor. Wallahu dhul fadli al-azim. So when we ask Allah, we should have high hopes, meaning we should aim high. We shouldn't just settle with asking for a few things or, little things. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for big things, for many favors, because Allah is able to give us all of them and even more than we can imagine, more than we can even think of. So in this dua, there are numerous lessons for us. We see that in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 200-202, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. And when you have completed your rites, meaning your rituals of Hajj, then remember Allah like your previous remembrance of your fathers, or with much greater remembrance. فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And among the people is he who says, our Lord, give us in this world, and he will have in the hereafter no share. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. But among them is he who says, our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا. Those will have a share of what they have earned. وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And Allah is swift in account. We see that upon the completion of the rituals of Hajj, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mushrikeen, they would hold a fair at Mina. In the time of Jahiliyyah, they would hold a fair at Mina, and as they would spend their time eating and drinking, they would also boast about their greatness by talking about their ancestors. So they're told over here that leave such talk. Do not waste your time talking about the greatness of your ancestors. And the time that you used to spend in frivolous things, now you should spend that in the remembrance of Allah, in mentioning Him. Because the remembrance of Allah is something that brings contentment to everyone's heart. But the remembrance of forefathers can bring a lot of discomfort and a sense of low self-worth, to some people. So, for example, if you sit with your friends and you talk about how great of a house your grandfather had, how much land he owned, and how he was the authority in his village, and how so much food would come into the house, and so much charity would go from the house, and things like that. If you talk about the greatness, the wealth of your ancestors, okay, you feel good about that. But those listening to you don't necessarily enjoy that because they will instantly compare you to themselves, and they will feel inferior because they did not have a grandfather or an ancestor who was as wealthy or as generous or even someone who believed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us over here that we should talk about those things that everyone finds happiness in, not those matters that cause discomfort and hurt to others. And the dhikr of Allah is something that brings tuma'nina to everyone's heart. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. So here people are taught that remember Allah much. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs our attention towards dua. Because first it is said that fadhkurullaha kadhikrikum aba'akum aw ashadda dhikra, and then dua is mentioned. So this shows us that when a person makes dua after a lot of dhikr, then it can be hoped that their dua will be granted. However, the people who are only concerned with the world are reprimanded over here, those who only pray for dunya, and those who seek the success of the hereafter, and of course, good things in the world, they are praised over here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Meaning, when you have completed all of your rituals, rituals of Hajj, and remember that Hajj has many different rituals, many different places you have to go to. You have to go to Mina, then Arafah, then Muzdalifah, then back to Mina, and then at Mina you have to do the you have to do the stoning, the Ramyul Jimar. You have to offer sacrifice, and then the trimming or the shaving of the head. After completing all of the rituals of Hajj, then fadhkurullah, then remember Allah. So make dhikr after completing Hajj, basically. Because it's very common in people that after they complete an act of worship, they tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather they tend to forget to remember Allah. Why? Because on completing a certain act of worship, we feel like, okay, we've done something, we've completed it. Now I'm on a break, right? Now I'm free. And being free means now just, comfort yourself, enjoy yourself, go eat, go chill, go rest, things like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us over here that after completing the rituals of Hajj, then make the dhikr of Allah. And this is not just limited to Hajj, this is actually applicable to all acts of worship. We are taught that after the month of fasting, we should glorify Allah, we should say takbirat on the day of Eid. The day of Eid is a day of dhikr, right? After praying salah, also we should make dhikr, and we have discussed that in great detail earlier. So after completing any act of worship, remember the dhikr of Allah, this is very important. Why? Because Remembering Allah after completing an act of worship is basically taking the effect of that worship along with you into whatever work you are doing now, because you want to benefit from what you just did. And here, remembering Allah means specifically in the days of Mina by saying the takbirat. And also it includes making du'as, yani calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And specifically, it has been said that remember Allah ka dhikrikum aba'akum. Remember Allah as you used to remember your forefathers. Because like I mentioned earlier, in the time of ignorance, they would talk about the accomplishments of their forefathers or about their lineage and things like that. So remember Allah the same way, or rather, ashadda dhikra. Remember Allah with even more attentiveness and more sincerity and more frequency and in greater abundance. So remember Allah a lot and with complete attentiveness of the heart. Then our attention is directed toward making dua. So it is said, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Among the people are those who say, our Lord, give us in the world, and they shall have no share in the hereafter. Why? Because they're only praying for good things in this world. And they're saying, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا, our Lord, give us in the world. Give us what in the world? Meaning our share or anything of benefit, anything we desire, good things essentially. Give us those good things here. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that there were Bedouins among the Arabs who would come to Arafah or at different places of Hajj, and one of them would stand up and make dua saying that, oh God, make this year a year of rain and plenty of abundance and healthy children, etc. Yani, that's all that they would pray for, and they would not pray for anything related to the hereafter. And they would not pray for Allah's forgiveness in the hereafter. They would not pray for paradise. They would not pray for any reward in the hereafter for the acceptance of their deeds. No, they would only be concerned about the things of the world. And the reason for this is that they simply did not believe in the hereafter. And when they did not believe in the hereafter, then their Hajj was for the sake of the world. Their prayers were for the sake of the world. Their efforts, everything, whatever they spent in order to get there, whatever they did in order to get to Hajj, all of that was dedicated to just getting more dunya. And this is very common to, sorry, this is very similar to how people are today, that people will exert a lot of effort, a lot of effort, seeking good things of the world. They will exert not only physical effort, but they will invest financially. They will even try to do different things spiritually, whether it is meditation or it is holding or saying certain affirmations on a regular basis. Different things people do in order to get more of the world. Imam Baghawi said that this ayah is referring to the mushrikeen, the polytheists, who, when they would come for Hajj, they would only pray for the things of this world. So, for example, they would say, oh Allah, give us goats and camels and cows and slaves, things like that. A man would get up and he would say, my Lord, my father used to have a huge tent. And he had a lot of wealth. So you give me the same as you gave him. Qatada said that this is the person whose sole concern is the world. It is the dunya. So he spends his money for the sake of the dunya. And he works for the sake of dunya. And he gets tired and exhausted and bears hardship and difficulty. Why? Only for the sake of dunya. And subhanAllah, this is something that is so common today, that even among Muslims, for instance, that their entire concern is what? The things of the world. whether it is a career that they want to establish, a name they want to make, a title they want to achieve, a house they want to build, a certain amount of money they want to have, or shares they want to own. The concern, the ultimate concern, is just the dunya. And so the effort, their education, their work, their mental energy, their prayers, even if they have some spirituality, even that is dedicated to what? Just getting more dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Such a person will have no share in the hereafter. Why? Because he never wanted it. He never prayed for it. He never asked for it. He only wanted the world, and that is all he prayed for. That is all he asked for. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And among them are those who say, Our Lord, give us in the world good things, and in the hereafter, good things. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Meaning all people are not like that. There are those who believe in the hereafter, those who aim for the hereafter, those who seek the hereafter as well. Meaning they seek the world and they also seek the hereafter. They want both. And this is the person who aims very high. And he was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lot, because he knows that Allah is capable of giving a lot. So he's not just praying for dunya, he's also praying for eternity, for the akhirah. And when a person makes dua just for dunya, they're asking for something that will benefit them for how long? Maybe 5 years, 20 years, 30 years, who knows? Less than 100 years, right? But when a person is praying for the hereafter, something good in the hereafter, this means that they want that benefit for eternity, forever and ever and ever. So why do we aim so low? Why should we ask for very little when Allah is capable of giving us so much more? So, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. They ask Allah, firstly, for good things in the world. Why? Because they're living in the world. They're in this world. And in order to live this life in a good way, and in order to prepare for the hereafter, a person must have access to good things. And what are these good things? What is hasana in the world? It includes ample and lawful sustenance. So, for example, a person prays for ample, lawful sustenance, money, wealth, because this is good for the believer. He will use his good wealth to earn the pleasure of Allah. So, for example, if a person has ample wealth that he has earned lawfully, this means that he can go for umrah, he can go for hajj regularly. He can travel for the sake of Allah. He can support those who are in need of help. He can, they can build a masjid. They can sponsor students of knowledge. They can spend in the way of Allah. And there's so much that they can do with their lawfully earned wealth. So, first of all, hasana in the world includes ample, lawful sustenance. Secondly, it also includes a righteous spouse. A righteous spouse, being married is a very normal, wish that and any person can have. And if a person prays for a righteous spouse who will assist them not only in their worldly matters but also in preparing for the home of the hereafter, this is excellent. Then, hasana in the world includes righteous children, good children, healthy children, obedient children, children who have very good manners. And then it includes comfort and rest and ease and convenience in life, as well as beneficial knowledge and righteous actions and all permissible things. All permissible things are included in hasana in the world. But they don't just ask for hasana in the world. They also ask Allah, wa fil akhirati hasana. Ya Allah, give us hasana in the hereafter as well. And hasana in the hereafter, of course, it is Jannah, right? It is paradise. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. Those people who have done good in the world, they shall have al-husna, the most excellent reward in the hereafter, which is Jannah. And not just that, wa ziyada, and even more than that. So hasana, yes, it includes paradise, but not just Jannah. It includes more than that. So for example, a person asks for hasana in the hereafter. This includes that, Ya Allah, grant me safety and protection on the day of judgment. That Ya Allah, grant me beauty in paradise. Grant me, such easy hisab. Make my deeds heavy in the scale, and give me my record of deeds in my right hand, and protect me from punishment in the grave on the day of judgment in the great gathering. Grant me your approval. Grant me your closeness. Give me the privilege to see you. Bestow on me your ridwan, your approval. So the list of hasana in the hereafter, that is endless, because the hereafter is endless. So وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And one more thing they pray for, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Meaning, Ya Allah, protect us from those deeds that lead a person to hellfire. And forgive me my sins so that I am not punished with the fire. So guard me against those deeds which could lead me to hellfire. And if there are any sins I have already committed, Ya Allah, forgive me for those also. Waqina adhab an-nar, save us from the punishment of the fire. Now this dua, remember, this is the most comprehensive and complete dua. The most comprehensive, the most complete dua. Which means that if you don't know any other dua, and if you know this dua, then you know what to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. You are asking for good things for yourself, because you're asking for goodness in the world, goodness in the hereafter, and protection against the hellfire. These are the three main things that each person needs, that each person wishes for. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua very, very frequently. And you know, sometimes there are situations in your life where you are not able to make a lot of dua. You would like to, you want to, you make the intention that now I'm going to sit and make dua. But what happens, especially if you have little children, then you are needed, or you have many obligations, or you are at work, you have your exams or something because of which you're not able to make a lot of time, or even when you do, you are mentally so occupied, you are being called from different directions. You are not able to, make that time for yourself. In such times, do not leave making dua. Don't do that you completely stop making dua for yourself. No, you must make dua for yourself no matter how busy you are. But learn the most. The most effective way of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best du'as that you can make for yourself. And this is one of those du'as which is very comprehensive and very complete. And this is why this du'a is given preference over other du'as as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would very frequently make this du'a and also teach this du'a to others. We learn in a hadith that Qatada asked Anas radiallahu anhu that which dua did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make the most, what was his most frequent dua? And he said, the dua that he would make most frequently is Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. That, O Allah, give us in this world good and in the hereafter good, and save us from the punishment of the fire. And whenever Anas radiallahu anhu, he would want to make dua, he would always begin with this dua. Yani first he would make this dua and then he would make some other dua. We learn in another narration that Anas radiallahu anhu, he was told that some people have come to see you from Basra and they want that you should make dua for them. So he said, Allahumma ghfir lana warhamna. O Allah, forgive us and have mercy on us. Wa atina fid dunya hasana, and give us in the world good. and in the وفي الآخرة حسنة, and in the hereafter good, وقنا عذاب النار, and save us from the punishment of the fire. So those people said that make more dua. You know, we came all the way here and we want you to make dua for us. So make more, ask for something else. So he said the same dua again, that رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And then he said that if you are given this, you have been given the good of this world and the next. And what more do you want? If you're asking Allah for this, this means that you are asking Allah for good in the world, good in the hereafter. This is basically what you want, right? And if this dua is accepted, then you're good. We also learned that Anas radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once visited a man who was so weak that he had become like a baby bird. And he, out of his sickness, his body had become so frail and it had basically shriveled, subhanAllah. And that man was in a very terrible state. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him that, did you not used to make dua? Did you not used to ask your Lord for sound health? Is there something that you used to pray for? So the man said, I used to say that, oh Allah, whatever you are going to punish me with in the hereafter, then hasten it for me in this world. And if you're going to punish me in the hereafter, give me that punishment now in this life. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, He was surprised at this answer. He said, Subhanallah, la tutiquhu. Glory be to Allah, you are not capable of that. You are not able to bear punishment, you know, of Allah in this world, even the hereafter. This is not something that you should be praying for. Why did you not say, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar? That, oh Allah, give us good in this world, good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Why did you not make this dua? Meaning this is the dua that you should be making. So this shows us that this is a dua we should make when we want something, whether it is health or wealth or family, children, success, education, anything that we want of this world, or anything we want of the hereafter, paradise, forgiveness, ease on the day of judgment, anything we desire in paradise in the hereafter, we can make this dua. And we can also make this dua when we are feeling extremely bad and guilty about our sins, ashamed of the wrong things that we have done. Sometimes, there's we have a lot of hope in Allah's mercy. And then there are other times when we have a lot of fear, when we're very, very afraid that I don't know what's going to become of me. I don't know if I'm going to be forgiven because of such and such sin of mine or such and such shortcomings of mine. I don't know what's going to happen. So don't fall into despair at that time. Rather make this dua. Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Such a comprehensive dua. We learned that this dua is also supposed to be made during tawaf, especially when a person is walking between the two corners, yani Rukun Yamani and Hajar Aswad. At that time, especially, we should make this dua. And in the days of Hajj, Ibn Rajab said that the Salaf would, the earlier generations, they would especially make this dua in the days of the Tashriq, meaning in the days of Mina at Hajj. And Atha said that any person who goes for Hajj and is returning to his family, to his home, then he should make this dua. And when you're done Hajj, then at that time you should especially be making this dua. And Imam An-Nawawi says that there is no specified time or place for this Hajj, for this dua, because this dua is something that a person can make at any time, any moment, any place. A person can make this dua in their salah, outside of salah, at the beginning of their dua, in the middle of their dua, at the end. You can make this dua when visiting someone who is ill, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that man. You can make this dua when performing the rituals of Hajj. You can make this dua at any time. So make sure that you know this dua well, And you teach this dua to your children and encourage them to make this dua also. Encourage your family to make this dua. Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. That is in the sunnah, that the dua begins with the word Allahumma, that O Allah. In the Quran, the wording is Rabbana atina, that our Lord, you give us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding these people who pray for both dunya, akhirah, and protection against the punishment of the fire, that أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا, that they will have a share of what they have earned. وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ, and Allah is swift in the account. Meaning each group will have their reward according to what they have done, according to what they have earned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense people based on their intentions and their efforts. And ulaika over here refers to both the groups, yani those who pray only for dunya and also those who pray for dunya and akhirah. So those who pray only for dunya, they will only have dunya. How much dunya? Whatever dunya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already written for them. And those who pray for dunya and akhirah, then they will get both, because that is what they're praying for. That is what they're asking for. And the ulama say that this verse shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everyone's du'as, whether they're Muslim or not, whether they worship Allah the right way or not, whether they commit sins or not. Every person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who hears du'as. He is the one who gives to people what they ask for. And أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Allah is swift in the account. Yani on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the accounts of people very quickly. And do not think that the hereafter is far. It is very near. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ تَكُونُ قَرِيبًا. You don't know. Perhaps the hour is very near. So Allah is swift in account. The hereafter is not far. So don't doubt it's coming just because it's not here right now. Because you see, sometimes we focus our du'as only on the things of the world because they are immediate. We see them, right? So we feel like they're more urgent. They're more real to us. And the hereafter seems very far. And what is far seems to be unlikely. And so we forget what is going to come later and we just focus on the present. Don't make that mistake. Focus on the present and also on the future. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you good in this world and good in the hereafter and to protect you from the punishment of the hellfire. Ameen. Now, in this dua, there are numerous lessons that we can learn. First of all, we learn that we should pray for both the dunya and the akhirah. Yani whenever you make dua for anything, whether it is health or it is your, for your children, for your safety, for your success in your exams, whatever dua you're making, even for your parents, any dua you're making, also pray for the akhirah. Your dua should not just be focused on the good things of the world. You must also pray for akhirah. And if you don't know what to ask for, then at least make this dua. Because this dua covers all of the good things of the hereafter. Those you know and those you don't know. Those you can think of and those you cannot think of. All the good things of the hereafter. So include this dua in your du'as. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Secondly, we learn that while we make dua, yes, we should pray for dunya and we should pray for akhirah, but what we pray for akhirah should be more than what we pray for dunya. Because in this dua, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, we see that for dunya, we're just asking for one thing, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً, that, oh, our Lord, give us good in this world. But when it comes to the hereafter, we're asking for two things, right? And that is, in the hereafter, حَسَنَةً, وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, save us from the punishment of the fire. So if you divide your dua into three sections, okay, one section should be for the dunya, and two for the hereafter, right? Any good thing that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for in this world, ask double of that in the hereafter, for the hereafter. Thirdly, we learn in this dua that when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should call upon him by his names, by his attributes, because you see the dua begins with Rabbana in the Quran, and in the Sunnah it begins with Allahumma. Any say Rabbi, Rabbana, Ya Rabb, Ya Allah, any call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names, any address him, talk to him, take his name, of course, very respectfully, with love, with fear, with adoration, with reverence and respect, with all of those good feelings, but take his name. Some people, when they're making dua, they don't say things like Allahumma or Rabbana. So call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his names and his attributes. And you see, especially in this dua, an action of Allah is also mentioned, Waqina, and you save us, because it is Allah who saves. It is Allah who protects. Fourthly, we learn from this dua that when we make dua, we should aim high. We should aim very, very, very high. So, for example, if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wealth, okay, then don't just pray for $1,000, okay? Don't just pray for $50,000. Pray for millions, because Allah is able to give you that. When you want to get a car, for example, okay, and you're making dua, don't just pray for any car, that Ya Allah, I want just any car, as long as it moves, even if it's rickety and old and rusted and it has a million problems, it's okay. I just desperately want a car. Please give me a car. Don't pray like that. Make dua for a car that is good, for a car that will not give you trouble, for a car that is very comfortable, that is very spacious, that you can use for a very, very, very long time. And make such du'as. Aim high. Because when is it that you ask for little favors? You ask for little favors from who? From people. Which people? The people who have very little to give. But when you know that someone is very generous and they have a lot to give, then you don't ask for little favors, you ask for huge favors. You don't hesitate asking. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't hesitate asking. So we're taught over here to pray for the dunya and the akhirah and protection against the fire. Allahu Akbar. And aim high. Then we learn, number five, from this dua, that there is nothing wrong in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good things in the world, as long as a person is also praying for good things in the hereafter. If, for example, you find out that someone's making dua in the month of Ramadan for a new car, okay, on their dua list, or the dua that they regularly make is a new car, right? You might say, oh, look at them. They're praying for dunya, or dunya, which is so lowly. No, there's nothing wrong in praying for dunya as long as a person is also praying for the akhirah. Because this is what we're being taught over here. Ask Allah for good things here in the world, and ask Allah for good things in the hereafter. Both. Ask Allah for both. It's not only the hereafter and nothing of the world. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for both. Number six, we learn from this dua that every person, no matter who they are, is in need of good things in this world and good things in the hereafter. You could be very wealthy, you could be healthy, maybe you have memorized the Quran, and maybe you have done Hajj and many Umrah in your life, and maybe you give a lot of sadaqah as well. Maybe you teach people a lot of good things. You still need more good things in the world and good things in the hereafter. Because it hasn't been said that this dua is especially for those who are in difficulty, or those who are suffering, or those who are poor, or those who are struggling. No, this dua is for who? For everyone. Because it's the dua which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. This dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of. So this means that anyone and everyone can make this dua. Never feel that, oh, since Allah has blessed you with good health and good wealth, and you should not be asking Allah for good things in the world. No, you should still be asking Allah for good things in the world. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Because for the believer, every good thing in the world becomes a means of earning more good in the hereafter. The number seven, we learn in this dua that we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hope and fear. With hope and fear. Because on the one hand, we have hope when we say, Ya Allah, give us good in the world, give us good in the hereafter. Right? You're asking for something good when you have hope. And then you also have fear when you say, Waqina adhab an-nar. Ya Allah, save us from the punishment of the fire. So combine both fear and hope. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the things that you desire, and also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from things that you are afraid of. And then number eight, we learn from this dua that the du'as which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his book, in the Quran, they are truly excellent du'as, very comprehensive, meaningful du'as. So we should, in the du'as we make, we should include the du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught in the Quran. So for example, this du'a, or Rabbi zidni ilma, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. There are so many du'as that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran, and these du'as are very comprehensive, very complete in their meaning. So we should learn these du'as and we should make them. Now, we see that in these verses that I presented before you, we see that people who only seek the dunya have been condemned. Right? And this is something that we should bear in mind, that we should not just be seekers of this dunya. Because wal akhiratu khayrun wa abqa, the hereafter is better and it is more lasting. No matter how much of this dunya we can have, remember it is limited, it is temporary. And every good thing in this world is such that it also brings with it some kind of challenges, right? So, for example, if you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a big house, then of course you also have to pay taxes, right? You also have to pay for the bills, and maybe you have to pay for the maintenance, and maybe you have to work yourself very hard to maintain that house, to clean that house, right? So, we should not just be seeking the dunya, because the hereafter is better and it is more lasting. So, for example, you want a good house in the world, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it good for you. But along with that, also pray to Allah, Rabbi ibni li 'indaka baytan fil Jannah, that, oh my Lord, build for me a house near you in Jannah. I want a house in paradise. And anything that you wish for in the world, because you feel like it's going to be very beneficial for you, then remind yourself that قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ, the benefit of the world is little. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى, and the hereafter is way better for the one who has taqwa of Allah. And the world, in a hadith we learn that you know that your return is to Allah. And then either there is Jannah or there is fire. And the hereafter, any the home of the hereafter, whether paradise or hellfire, is such an abode from which there is no departure. And then there is such eternity that there is no death. And in the hereafter are such bodies that will not die. So focus on the hereafter, prepare for that, because the real life is the life of the hereafter. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you in this world, be grateful for it, but don't be satisfied with it, in the sense that don't think that now you are successful when you get something of the world. Realize that there is much more in the hereafter that you still need to seek. So aim for that, strive towards that, and pray for that. And we also learned that the person who only seeks the world, then such a person will have no share in the hereafter. من كان يريد العاجلة عجلنا له فيها ما نشاء لمن نريد ثم جعلنا له جهنم يصلاها مذموما مدحورا. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون. And there are several verses in the Quran that teaches this lesson, that if you seek the world, then you only get of this world what is written for you. So don't just seek this dunya, also aim for, wish for, strive for the reward that Allah has in the hereafter. Ibn Jarir al-Tabri said that the person who does good things, a person does good deeds, only to get benefit in the world. So for example, he fasts, for instance, some people fast, why? So that they can lose weight. Or a person prays. So for example, some people make sure that they're praying long qiyam, standing, why? So that they can burn more calories. Okay. So a person does good things for worldly gain, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person the dunya that he's asking for, but then in the hereafter, this person will have nothing. So just because we are doing a good deed, that alone is not enough. We need to ask ourselves that, what do I want through this good deed? What do I want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To give me what? Just benefit now or benefit in the hereafter as well? So aim for the hereafter. Make your intention sincere for the akhirah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you reward over there. In hadith, we learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about certain individuals who were very generous. This is before Islam, in the time of ignorance. And who were very generous, who were very hospitable, good to their relatives, people who would set slaves free and would give food to others. So will such people be admitted into paradise? Will their deeds help them? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no, because they never said Rabbighfir li khati'ati yawm ad-din. These people never said, oh my Lord, forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. They never they only aimed for dunya. They did all of these good things, whether it was out of seeking fame or for no benefit in return from people, whatever it was, they didn't do it for the sake of Allah. And when they did not do it for the sake of Allah, then that means that they will not have any reward from Allah in the hereafter. So we should be very careful. Sometimes we exert so much effort in fasting, in praying, in reciting Quran, in saving to go for Umrah or for Hajj. What's the intention? Are we only seeking worldly benefits? So for example, some people, they're advised go for Umrah. If they're having trouble finding a spouse, people advise them go for Umrah and inshallah you will find a good spouse. Or they say, you're having trouble in your business, go for Umrah. You're having trouble having a child, go for Umrah. And it's okay. You do something good and make dua, because this is a way of having your du'as accepted. But your ultimate concern and goal for Umrah should not be so you can get married. That's not the outcome, the only outcome you're seeking. No, you're seeking Allah's mercy, His vast, vast, generous mercy in the hereafter and in this world. And a tiny portion of that vast mercy is that you are granted a child that you so badly want, or you are granted a spouse that you so badly want, or you're granted a health or wealth or whatever it is that you wish. So don't just seek dunya. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his generosity, which includes dunya and akhirah. And when a person only seeks the dunya, then their heart becomes deviated. We learn that it makes a person a coward. They no longer have inner strength or courage. And we learn in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that let the slave of dinar and dirham, so he said, تعس عبد الدينار وعبد الدرهم وعبد الخميصة. يعني may such a person be ruined. Who? The slave of dinar, the slave of dirham, the slave of khamisa. Khamisa is a garment. And he's someone who is so greedy for clothes. Let him perish, that if he is pleased, he is happy. And if he is, sorry, if he is given, he is happy. And if he is not given, he becomes annoyed. So this is how some people are, even with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they make dua for what? For nice clothes. And if they don't get the nice clothes, they get angry. Ya Allah, why didn't you give me nice clothes? They're so eager and greedy for the things of the world that if they get them, they're happy. If they don't get them, they're not happy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that let such a person perish. And if he is pierced with a thorn, let him not find anyone to take it out for him. Subhanallah. This is how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disliked people who are so greedy for the world. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Allah has divided the world into three portions. One portion is for the believer, another portion is for the hypocrite, and another portion is for the disbeliever. So the believer takes his portion of the world in order to prepare for the hereafter. Subhanallah. And whatever a believer enjoys and uses of this world, then what is the goal? The goal is to seek the home of the hereafter. The hypocrite uses the world in order to adorn and beautify himself over here. And he just uses it to show off, to boast, to impress people, to look good in the eyes of people, because that is what a hypocrite is. Seeker of people's approval. And the disbeliever takes his share to enjoy himself. And he only enjoys in the world. So who are you? What are you seeking? If you have anything of this world, what is the objective? Is it to thoroughly enjoy it? Is it to just adorn yourself with it? Or is it to use it in order to earn the home of the hereafter? Malik ibn Dinar said that your concern for the hereafter will depart from your heart in proportion to your concern for the world. Meaning, the more concerned you are for this dunya, then the less concerned you will be for the hereafter. And vice versa, your concern for the dunya will depart from your heart in proportion to your concern for the hereafter. And you will notice this, that when you are overly concerned about, for example, the cleanliness of your home or your health, your physical appearance, your money, and things like that, then you have less bandwidth, mental bandwidth, to think about the hereafter and to focus and pay attention on deeds that will help you in the hereafter. So for example, if you wake up in the morning with your, thinking about how you have to clean the house and all the things you have to get done and how you have to go shopping and all the things you need to buy and the bills you have to pay. So what will happen? From the morning until you fall in your bed at night, what is it that you are chasing? The dunya. And the time that you take out in order to pray salah, how is that time spent? Any salah will be rushed. You will not be able to remember Allah in salah. You will not be able to remember Allah after salah. Maybe you're so busy cleaning, cooking, doing the chores, going out of the house, buying, shopping, that you forget to make dhikr in the morning. You forget to make dhikr in the evening. You forget to give sadaqah. You forget to recite Quran. And you think about it. Your concern for the hereafter will depart from your heart in proportion to your concern for the world. And if you are concerned for the hereafter, then what will happen? Your concern for the dunya will reduce. Then, yes, you will, for example, when you wake up in the morning and you're like, today, I have to recite this much Quran. Today, I have to, help so-and-so for the sake of Allah. I have to go here and attend a gathering of knowledge. I have to, do such and such good deed. and you have all those good things in your mind, then what will happen? You're focused on them. And yes, cooking will also get done, grocery will also get done, but you will not be overly concerned with those matters. And the concern for the hereafter, it brings a person calm, in this life, in the sense that they're not panicking, they're not worrying all the time. And when a person is concerned about the dunya all the time, they're always stressed out, always worried, because there's no end to the things of this world. There's no end to the work that you can do over here. There's always more to do. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good things of this life and also the good things of the next life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His approval, for Jannah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincerity in your heart. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to worship Him in an excellent way. And people who ask Allah for dunya and akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not deprive His righteous slaves of the good things of the world. And his favor is a lot. Now, when we ask Allah for good things in the world, what is it that we should be praying for? Or what is it that we can have in our mind when we say, Rabbana atina fid dunya? In your mind, you should have, Ya Allah, give me religious and worldly blessings. So, for example, Ya Allah, strengthen my Islam, strengthen my Iman, give me the ability to spend more time with the Quran, bless my family and my wealth so that I can use them for your pleasure. So, for example, my family, my children, I can teach them about you, I can teach them your book, they will do righteous deeds. They will be good Muslims. So keep this in your mind when you say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to do good things, good deeds, good akhlaq, acts of generosity, of forgiveness, assisting people, assisting Allah's creation. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have in your mind that you live your life in a way that is pleasing to Allah, that you use the blessings Allah has given you in the right way, in a good way, that Allah grants you health and safety in your body, that Allah gives you a righteous spouse, a good neighbor, that Allah gives you a comfortable means of transportation and a comfortable home, that Allah gives you satisfaction, that Allah gives you patience and gratitude and a heart and tongue that remember Allah a lot, that and that Allah gives you the ability to spend generously in His way. And like in the Quran we learn, Qarun was told, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ. Seek the home of the hereafter through what Allah has given you. So ask Allah that, Ya Allah, give me the ability to use all of this to earn the home of the hereafter, to use the good things of this world in a way that is permissible. When you ask Allah, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً, what should you have in your mind? Have in your mind that, Ya Allah, make my death easy for me. Make my death a time of receiving good news of paradise. Make my grave spacious for me. Give me blessings and ease and protection and comfort in my grave. That, Ya Allah, grant me ease in the hashr, in the great gathering. Ya Allah, forgive me in the great gathering. Ya Allah, give me the water of Haud Kawthar. Allow me to drink from there. Allow me to be in the shade of your throne on the day of judgment. Make me such that give me my record of my deeds in my right hand. Give me the ability to cross the Sirat very quickly, very swiftly. Wa fil akhirati hasana. Make me enter paradise. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, save me from the punishment of hell. Ya Allah, grant us the privilege of seeing you, that you bestow your approval on me. So, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Ameen. Another dua we can make. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. في ديني ودنياي وأهلي ومالي. that, oh Allah, I seek your protection in this world and the next. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness and your protection in my religion, in my worldly affairs, in my family, and in my wealth. Another dua we can make, Allahumma ghfirli, warhamni, warzuqni, that, oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, and provide me, meaning give me sustenance. Allahumma aslihli dini, oh Allah, set right for me my religion. Alladhi huwa ismatu amri, which is the safeguard of my affairs, because if your religion is good, then everything else is good. Wa aslih li dunyaya allati fiha ma'ashi, and set right for me the affairs of my world wherein is my living. And you make my worldly affairs right for me because I'm here right now. This is where I am right now. Wa aslih li akhirati allati fiha ma'adi, and set right for me my hereafter on which depends my afterlife, my eternity. Waj'al al-hayata ziyadatan li fi kulli khayr, and make my life a source of abundance in every good deed. Yani, make my life such that I only increase in good deeds, in goodness. وَجَعَلِ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ, and make my death a source of comfort for me against every evil. Yani, make my death a source of comfort for me so that I am protected from every kind of evil. Another dua we can make, and this is slightly long, but this is also from the sunnah. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mas'ala wa khayra al-du'a. That, oh Allah, I ask you for the best thing that I can ask for. And sometimes we don't even know what to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So you're saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mas'ala wa khayra al-du'a, the best dua, wa khayra al-najah, success, wa khayr al-amal, the best work, the best deeds, wa khayr al-thawab, the best reward, wa khayr al-hayat, the best life, wa khayr al-mamat, the best death, wa thabbitni, and make me firm, wa thaqqil mawazini, make my scales on the day of judgment heavy, wa haqqiq imani, and strengthen my faith, وَرْفَعْ دَرَجَاتِي, and raise my ranks, وَتَقَبَّلْ صَلَاتِي, and accept my prayers, وَغْفِرْ خَطِيئَتِي, and forgive my sins, وَأَسْأَلُكَ الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ, and I ask you for the highest levels of paradise. اللهم إني أسألك فواتح الخير, O Allah, I ask you for the keys of goodness, meaning whatever thing I begin, let that be good. وَخَوَاتِمَهُ, and also good endings. Anything I begin, let me begin it in a good way, and let me accomplish it, let me end it in a good way. وَجَوَامِعَهُ وَأَوَّلَهُ وَظَاهِرَهُ وَبَاطِنَهُ, and good in external, in internal matters. وَالدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ آمِينَ. And I ask you for the highest ranks of paradise. Ameen. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra ma aati, wa khayra ma af'al, wa khayra ma a'mal, wa khayra ma batan, wa khayra ma dhahar, wa ad-darajati al-ula min al-jannati. Ameen. O Allah, I ask you for the good things that I can do. And you give me the ability to do good things, to say good things, to do good works internally, externally, and I ask you for the highest ranks of paradise. Allahumma inni as'aluka an tarfa'a dhikri. Wallah, I ask you that you raise my mention. And this is that you mention me before your angels. And that can only be when Allah is pleased with his slave, when Allah loves his slave. I ask you, wa tada'a wizri, that you put down my burden. وَتُصْلِحَ أَمْرِي, and you rectify my affair. وَتُطَهِّرَ قَلْبِي, and you cleanse my heart. وَتُحَصِّنَ فَرْجِي, and you guard my private part, meaning protect me from committing sin. وَتُنَوِّرَ قَلْبِي, Ya Allah, I ask you that you put light in my heart. وَتَغْفِرَ لِي ذَنْبِي, and that you forgive my sins. وَأَسْأَلُكَ الدَّرَجَاتِ الْعُلَى مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ آمِينَ, I ask you for the highest levels of paradise. Ameen. اللهم إني أسألك أن تبارك في نفسي. Oh Allah, I ask you that you put barakah in my being, يعني bless my entire being. وفي سمعي bless my hearing. وفي بصري bless my vision. وفي روحي bless my روح. وفي خلقي bless my physical body. وفي خلقي and also bless my character. وفي أهلي bless my family. وفي محياي bless my life. وفي مماتي bless my death. وفي عملي bless my deeds. فتقبل حسناتي. And then يا رب accept my good deeds. وأسألك الدرجات العلى من الجنة. And I ask you for the highest ranks of paradise. آمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.